Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting on Monday, today on June 2nd. We are officially about to begin summer in a few weeks. So welcome. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. For people who are joining through phone calls, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you'd like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you'd like to raise your virtual hand or raise lower your virtual hand, you can click on the virtual hand, excuse me, hand icon. And that will do the trick. I do request everyone to stay on mute unless speaking because it helps eliminate any external noise. So in advance, thank you. Just a reminder that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this call. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name before your comments because it helps them in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone calls and people who listen to the audio afterwards. We request speakers to, describe themselves when initially speaking. Just a brief description, for instance, I'm a female, Asian Indian. I wear reading glasses and I have long dark hair and I'm wearing a blue and black and white striped shirt today. Chair Sheehan, I can go through the agenda. I can read that out loud and then I can go ahead and take the roll call of the committee members with your concurrence.
Perfect. Thank you, Anu. Appreciate that.
And before I start reading the agenda, I will take a quick second and share my screen to have that visible. So if you would give me a quick moment, and when the agenda is visible, if somebody can share with confirm that for me, I will appreciate that.
It is visible.
Thank you so much. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. Afterwards, Patrick Sheehan, AAC chair, will go through the motion of approving the agenda for today's meeting, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. We've asked, requested Dr. Posner to talk about Kathy Hudgens. Unfortunately, we lost her a few days ago, and she was a great personality. She was a board member for a very long time. So Dr. Posner will share some information with us. At last month's board meeting, we got some appointments and reappointments to the AAC. Very glad to say that now we are at full membership for the AAC. We would like to welcome all those members and go through the introduction. So we will take a few seconds for everyone to just introduce themselves briefly to the new member. We have Jerry Iller. He is a community engagement manager for planned projects from community relations and outreach. Jerry is here to discuss about the fiscal year 26 budget and service changes. So thank you, Jerry. Patrick Sheehan has been attending the DMV Moves meetings, and he will give us an update on that. Public comments section will take place around 6:50. After public comments, we will have a brief discussion about the AAC bylaws, and I believe Paul Semelford will be taking the lead on that. We will take a few minutes for our bus and rail subcommittee report, as well as the Metro Access subcommittee report. And as always, the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now, and we are going right to the AAC roll call. So when I call out your name, Please confirm your presence. Susan Bullmaster.
Here.
Thank you. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Alert. Audio now
Vanessa
unmuted.
Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tavon Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein. Steve Kaplan.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsell.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Virtually present.
Thank you. Sarah Rahn. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Samuel. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simoneau. And Philip Weintraub. Okay. That concludes the roster for today's meeting. And I'm sorry. Bear with me one second. Swetha Nandakumar.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Swetha. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. I just want to state for the record that some of the members have been excused because they have informed us of their unavailability. And those members are as follows: Debbie Fisher, Thomas Mangrum, Doris Ray, and Denise Rush. And I will be looking out for any members who join a little later to make sure their attendance has been marked appropriately. I will take a quick second to remind any members of the public, if you would like to make any comments, either you can raise your hands when we begin public comment section, or you can send me a chat message so that we can put you on the list. If you're able to raise your virtual hands, that would be great at the time we begin the meeting as well. As always, we will have 2 minutes for each member of the public to ensure that we can get all the comments that members would like to present. And with that, Chair Sheehan, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Excellent. Thank you, Anu. Appreciate it. So let's see, we're going to go through the agenda, board reports in the minutes. We'll start with the agenda. Do I have any additions or corrections to the agenda? Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as submitted?
So moved.
Very good. Do I have a second?
Second is Swatha.
Second.
Very good. Thank you, Swatha. Thank you. Good. Do I have any negative votes? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. I'll go next to the minutes. Do I have any additional corrections for the minutes as presented? Do I have a motion to accept the minutes
So
as
moved.
presented? Thank you, Phil. And a second.
I second
Very
Sandy.
good. Thank you, Sandy. Do I have any negative votes for approving the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved, and then I'll go to the board report. Do I have any additions or corrections to the board report? All right, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you. Can I have a second?
Second, Rico.
Very good. Thank you, Rico. Paul. Sir. Paul Semaphore.
I'm not seeing him yet.
You're not seeing him there. Oh, I thought I heard him in the roll call. All right. Well,
Not yet.
I called on Paul because he would say, and I'll just say this, that if anything comes up in this meeting that would affect what's in the board report, we would, of course, alter the board report as we've done in the past to reflect those changes. Okay. So, very good. Okay. So, do I hear any negative votes for the amended board report if we need to? Hearing none, the board report is approved. Very good. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate that. A tribute to Kathy Hutchins. I only heard about this afternoon. Phil, we're going to kind of put you on the spot. I think, see, Paul knew I was talking about him. Paul? Paul?
Yes.
Hey, sir. I just played you on the board report saying that we would have. So there you go. I knew your line, so I gave them, and it was okay. All right. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you being here. All right. We're jumping to tribute to Kathy Hutchins. Phil, I think particularly when you were chair, you had a very active relationship with Kathy and knew her really well and what she contributed to WMATA. You want to speak to her contributions for a few minutes?
Yes, I would be delighted to. The avatar that is on the screen is what I looked like 20 years ago. So just imagine aging of a white male in a t-shirt with a little less hair and smiling and happy to be 80 years old on a beautiful day in Florida. Where it was 65 degrees this morning and it was wonderful. But Kathy Hutchins was a former chair of the Fairfax Board of Commissioners and a member of the board and multiple time chair of the board and the first woman of color to chair the board. And this all occurred when Patrick was the chair of the AAC. In fact, even before, when we were still elderly and disabled, before we became accessible. But in the early days of accessibility, we were permitted to give a short report from the committee, Patrick. And Patrick, every once in a while, would let me speak. And Kathy, as the chair, said, "Well, don't worry about your 5-minute time limit to give the report, because what you say is really important. And so give us the full report." And so it was an opportunity for us to be heard. The other wonderful thing that Kathy did, and Patrick will remember, and Paul will remember. We were told we weren't allowed to speak to board members one-on-one. Our only access was during our allotted 5-minute talk at the monthly board meeting. Well, I asked Kathy at a budget meeting, "Is okay if I mentioned something?" She said, "Of course, go ahead." And that opened the floodgates because the other members of the board also said they were really happy to hear from us. And so not only did we get to speak for our 5 minutes, we got to talk to them as individuals. And we also invited them to come to our meetings, and they came to our meetings, particularly at the beginning of the year. And later on, we started the ride-alongs so that they actually rode our accessible transit. Kathy was incredible because she actually rode the bus regularly. She was a regular Fairfax County bus rider and knew even more about the buses in Fairfax County than Doris Ray. But the other thing about Kathy, it wasn't just what she did for accessible transportation. She also was incredibly active in affordable housing and healthcare. And, some of us lobby for a number of things, including accessibility and healthcare and housing. And there was Kathy at all of those regional meetings. And she was just a wonderful, upbeat, hardworking person who took care of all of her constituents and everyone that needed her. And that's almost pretty much what Patrick and I wrote when we nominated her for a Heritage Award, which she won. And so she was also one of our early Hettinger Award winners. So, Patrick, if you'd like to add something, and Paul, unfortunately, Denise isn't present tonight, but I'm sure she would add. She was a wonderful person and she will be missed.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Paul, would you like to go next?
Sure. Kathy Hutchins, when she was board chair, was a staunch advocate for Metro Access riders and services and made sure whatever financial or resources that were given to access services into Metro Access, she made it happen with the board. She listened to us AAC members. She listened to me, and I am going to sorely miss her. She passed 2 days before my birthday.
Happy belated birthday there, Paul. Thank you.
Yes.
And I would just add, along with what Phil said, we have a very, AAC has a very, very good reputation with the board. We've had board members now come up to us after, particularly after the board meetings and in other areas, come to our meetings and talk to us and let us ask questions of them. And I think Kathy was the one that started it off. She was very gracious. She knew the work that we were doing. We came to the board not with just complaints, but how things could be fixed, how they could be improved, where we were seeing issues, and we were working together as partners. And she really did help to open up the board so that the board members could come to and talk to us one on one as members as patrons of Metro, but also who had the could talk one on one with how we were moving through Metro Access, issues with wheelchairs, the bus and the rail, and how those issues could be improved. And I think that it was the one on one intervention that she opened up because that's the way she was. She was curious and hardworking and wanted to get to know how we were dealing with certain matters on a very personal level. And as was said, she went along with the right, she got involved with the ride-alongs, and because she got involved with the ride-alongs, everyone else took their turns also. So a great lady, very much a supporter of who we are. I credit her with starting off, allowing us to open up to the board and establish those good relationships that we enjoy today. And I will also give credit to Phil, who wouldn't have said this, but of all the schmoozers on the board, he was probably the best. I mean, he had more one-on-one relationships with the board members and talking to them about this and that and the other. He'd zip off after the board meetings or whatever, and he'd be talking to one or the other or whatever, and establishing the relationships that we needed sorely to be able to move forward with what we do. I mean, that is a terrific benefit that we have, and we do our best. And I think that they're pleased with the, talking to the AAC now. I think they are very pleased with the product that we have. After the last board meeting, and I'll just end with this, Don Drummer, who will be leaving the board in July, came over and thanked me again, sort of saying and extending it to the rest of the AAC, saying what a wonderful job we have done moving forward with Prince George's County. And he is very, very, very pleased to be part of that movement that we're seeing going forward. And so he wanted to extend that thank you to this committee for being proactive, professional, respectful, and not pointing fingers, but actually moving towards a product that we can be proud of. Kathy Hutchins really started that level of communication and cooperation. So I'm very pleased to see that this committee is extending that forward. So thank you to everybody. And she will be missed.
Patrick, this is Barbara. Can I add a few words?
Sure, of course, Barbara.
This is Barbara Millville, Ombudsperson for People with Disabilities at Metro. I wanted to say that I met Kathy probably about 13 years ago when I was president of the National Capital Citizens with Low Vision, and she was a huge supporter of getting the lighting improved in the Metro rail systems, the parking garages, all the bus loops, and everything. We had eight of our members come and testify at one of the board meetings, and all the board members really were engaged in that. Some of our members had some visual aids, and we passed them on. Everybody took a look at through the binocular. They saw how we see, and actually, Kathy asked questions, and there was a little dialogue going on with the board about these important issues, and that doesn't happen that often. And if it wasn't for her, who was it? Tom Downs, if you remember him. Now I'm going way back here, but really, these two were really important players in this. And Kathy was very vocal about the Silver Line going to Reston, and there was a lot of opposition from the citizens of that area, as you know, is a lot of issues, but she was adamant that that came through, and equity for everyone to be able to travel independently. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate that. And yeah, I remember some of those one-on-one meetings that we had with Kathy and with Tom within the WMATA headquarters building at the old building.
Yeah, Patrick, if I can add that, having brought up Tom, I will notice Kathy was so well respected, she was reappointed by her fellow board members to chair the committee twice. And Tom Downey followed her as chair. And I'll point out, while she was the first African American woman, Tom had a hearing problem. And so he was the first board member that had a hearing accessibility issue. So that was how things evolved with those folks. And we were very, 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 very fortunate to have that leadership. And we have been very fortunate since then. We've had some great board chairs that have understood accessibility issues.
Certainly have.
Yep.
Thanks.
And Kathy was on the train. She would come up to me and say, "Hey, how's it going?" And they didn't have to do that.
No, and at the time, Barbara, as I remember, you were just leading a merry band of volunteers out in Fairfax area, Virginia, doing the work that you did on the lighting and bringing the lighting study back to the well, E&D at the time, I guess, we're a elderly and disabled, and I guess now we're Accessibility Advisory Committee. But all the board was interested, Kathy and others were interested in the product that you were bringing forward, the fact that you weren't on the AAC. you working with us and reported through us, and they liked it and they agreed with the conclusions you made, but they had an ear for what we were able to do and could see its value. And so I appreciate that. So very good. Thank you very much for those.
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu.
Yes, I
We
know.
have two members with their hands up, and we are at 5:56. Philip, are you trying to make any additional comments, followed by Sandy Newsom?
It's right. I remember when I first went there, when we were all viewing the accessibility at the at those stations that recently opened up in the Silver Line, like by Dallas Airport. And I remember she was so good and being like with like being what they need to do to be sure they accessible they are accessible. And I just sometimes I wish she'd still be around because like a lot of stuff she fixed before it's like come like seems like it's like starting to reoccur, like the frequent switch problems and track problems that's been starting going on again in the last couple of weeks.
Thank you, Philip.
Thank you.
Sandy?
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to what Barbara said. Kathy Hudgens was definitely a presence in Reston. I first met her when I was on a homeowners committee. Very approachable woman, and I personally thank her for all her work to help get that Silver Line out to Reston and beyond.
Thank you, Sandy. Good. All right. So moving on to our next agenda item, we have some reappointments and we have a new member for on the committee. A huge amount of thank yous goes to Anu for a lot of the work behind the scenes that was done over the last year to bring on our new members from Virginia and Swatha with us, and we'll get to Swatha in a few minutes. Anu, the people that were reappointed, I guess we can go around and take a few minutes and introduce ourselves and say who we are, where we're from,
Sure.
and that sort of thing.
Would you like
So,
me to just go through the list of reappointments
sure,
and
that would be great,
no
Anu. Thank
problem.
you.
Thank you. So we have Philippa Mazzell reappointed, as is Paul Samford, Susan Bowmaster, Marcy Goldstein, and our last reappointment is Kelly Semino. And as you said, Swatha Nandakumar is our new member, and we are very excited to have you, Swatha, on the board.
So if you want to call, I guess we can go around and just introduce ourselves briefly to Swatha.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You want to call the roll and we can just say hello.
Okay. I can then it might be easier for us to take maybe 10 seconds each to going through the roll call and perhaps give 5 more seconds to Swatha. I apologize for the limited time, but we have a packed agenda, as Paul always says. So Susan, did you want to go ahead and start?
Yes, I think I'm unmuted. Hi, this is Susan
Yes.
Bowmaster. I live in Annandale, Virginia. I am visually impaired and I also use a walker. And I just want to first thank the board for my reappointment. I'm very, very excited. And to say to all the members of the committee, I'm really happy and very honored to be back and continue to work with you. So thank you to everybody who had a hand in that.
Okay, if Darnese is on, if you want to say a couple of words, Darnese. Maybe not. Tino is not on the meeting with us either. Vanessa. Okay, Rico, did you want to take a minute, a few seconds to say
Full
something?
speech.
Yes, good. Welcome, welcome. Thank you. My name is Rico Dancy. I'm a deaf person. I'm from born and raised in Cleveland, moved to
Okay.
Washington, D.C. I
Audio now in meeting.
want to thank you for joining. Thank you for your service. Thank you so much.
Okay, and seems like Vanessa has unmuted. Vanessa, did you want to take a few seconds just to introduce yourself?
Alert.
Yes,
Audio now.
sorry. I am African American, middle aged. I have layered hair and I'm wearing a t-shirt today. Welcome aboard. I represent the Prince George's County AAC.
Wonderful, thank you. I'm just going down the roster. So Debbie is not on with us on this meeting. I don't think Marcy is connected either. So going to the next person is Steve Caffin. Steve, go ahead.
I'm here.
Oh, you are here, Marcy. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Oh, Zoe, I'm a white woman with salt and pepper hair, and I'm wearing a pink t-shirt, and I live and represent Falls Church, Virginia. And I'm happy to be reappointed to the board.
Wonderful. Thank you. Steve?
Sure, my name is Steve Caffin, Caucasian, black hair, graying in places, and wearing a blue t-shirt with a pocket today. Well, my you know my I'm a CPA, balanced between auditing and financial management. My last 15 years with the federal government, as the audit director of the Peace Corps and USAID, whose employees I know very well and who are dealing with issues that that we know they're dealing with. And you know, my love for many decades has been public transit, in particular buses. And I try to bring that interest and that knowledge to work in the bus rail subcommittee and on the AAC.
Thank
Thank you.
you. Thomas is not connected with us. Philippa.
Good evening and welcome, Swartha. My name is Philippa Mazzell. I represent Washington, D.C. I'm a person with low vision, and my primary interest over the years has been the station ahead signs that were there and then became missing in metro stations. But I'm glad to say I see they've made a comeback and in much better shape. So hopefully we'll get to meet you in person at some point, and I hope you have a good time on the committee.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you, Swatha, because we want to make sure that you get a little bit time to share your information. Sandy?
Hi, Swatha. Welcome to the AAC committee. Look forward to working with you. I represent Fairfax County. I'm legally blind, so I help represent issues, vision-related issues for Metro.
Thank you. And then we have Dr. Posner as our emeritus member.
Yes, welcome, Swatha. It's always good to have another Virginian on. Because we are spread out. In the old days, all of the representatives were from Arlington County. But now we have a good representation from across the region. And it's important, particularly for the bus routes that cross county lines. And now with the Silver Line intact. And we're looking forward to having you as another Virginia representative. And listen and learn and tell everyone what the problem is and suggest potential fixes. And you'll be a wonderful addition to this committee. Learn from the staff. They can tell you why they can't fix something, but if you work with them, they will figure out a way to fix it if it's a real problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Sarah.
Hi, this is Sarah Rod, and I'm in Alexandria, Virginia. So, again, representing the swath of Virginia. I am a middle-aged Caucasian female with hair that I call blonde, that's probably closer to gray, but we all have our little delusions that make us feel better. I am very glad to have you on the committee. Thanks for joining, and I am now not the most recent member, so that's great.
No, how do
Welcome
you?
aboard.
All right, thank you. And Doris and Denise Rush are not on this meeting, so we will go to Paul. Paul, go ahead.
Paul Simmelfort, African American male wearing a yellow polo shirt,
I am living in Prince George's, beautiful Prince George's County, Maryland, in Oxon Hill. I am a special ed teacher by trade. This is my 27th year in the profession, educating students with disabilities, not the high school level. And I am also currently have been for probably about 10 plus years, the Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. And that is a passion of mine as a user and all its issues, promises. And we are now working with now a very promising and robust call center that we so I joined, I encourage you to join those meetings, the third in that subcommittee, the third week, Monday of the month, and where we have very fun and ro robust discussions, and get to engage with management who do listen and work with our contractors to make a better service for everybody. Welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Skipping over your chair, Sheehan, for a quick second. Philip Weintraub, go ahead.
I like to first. I'm Phil Weintraub. I live in r nice, beautiful Rockville, Maryland. I am on the I am I have a pervasive developmental, which is like on the very high end of the autism spectrum, and I also like to thank and welcome Swatha to our committee. I'm looking forward to working with you and hopefully meeting you in person, and hopefully you can help us with fixing. Try and get this system even more accessible. And I also want to congratulate all the everyone who was reappointed as well.
Thank you, Philip. Chair Sheehan, please go ahead and take say what's on your mind, and then let's hear from Swatha.
Very good. Well, I'll just take a minute. Swatha, welcome to the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Swatha knows me through the American Council of the Blind, where she worked. So she actually has a lot of dirt on me, so I need to be careful what I say and how I treat her. But Swatha, this is an excellent team that we have here with the Accessible Advisory Committee. I'm extremely pleased. It took me, what, 3 or 4 years to recruit you to come on here because you have a wealth of knowledge, wealth of experience, and just in transportation, and I just think it's going to be great having you on the Accessibility Advisory Committee. There'll be a briefing so that we can talk to you about the different parts of what we do and how we do it. But I will say that you are part of a team in Virginia. I believe it's all women, strong-willed, smart, capable women, so you fit right in. So welcome to the Accessibility Advisory Committee. There won't be a quiz on all these names that you just got, but if you could let the committee know who you are and a little bit about yourself, that'd be great.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Great.
There you are.
Thanks, Pat. I am Swatha Nandakumar. I am currently living in Alexandria, Virginia. I am originally from Chicagoland area and grew up there. I've been in Alexandria for about 4 years now. I worked at ACP for 3 of those years. I'm now currently in grad school at George Mason. And to describe yourself, I am a late 20s South Asian woman with black hair with gold highlights, and happy to be here. So thank you.
Thank you, Swatha. Very good.
Go
Very good.
Alexandria. Woohoo.
I know.
Woo.
I dare Virginia to get bossy on us next time. We'll teach them. That's great. Thank you.
Hey, so again,
How am I doing on time? Am I running behind schedule, Anu?
few minutes, about 10.
You're kinder to me than I deserve. Yes. Okay.
Well,
We have.
again, congratulations to everyone who got reappointed, and obviously Swatha, welcome. And we have Jerry to talk about the 2026 budget and service changes.
Yes, Jerry, I was just going to say welcome. Welcome to our meeting. Appreciate you coming on and letting us know, giving us an overview of the recent changes that we've been discussing over the last 6 months. But it's all yours, sir. Thanks.
Awesome. My name is Jerry Elar. I am the Community Engagement Manager on the Community Relations and Outreach team. I identify as he, him, his pronouns, mid-30s of age, Asian, Filipino, and wearing a cream sweater. And so I want to say thank you for everyone who is serving on the board and have been serving over the past several years or have just rejoined or joined the board as well. And so we really thank you for your service and letting us know how we can make the system more accessible for everyone across the system. So thank you. So as you may have heard from the April 10th budget adoption, there are several rail service changes that are going to be impact or effective on June 22nd. So just wanted to run through the overview of these rail service changes and also what we're doing as an outreach team to make sure everyone knows what's going on. Thankfully, a majority of them are optimizations for our customers taking our Metro Rail. And as you know, on June 29, Better Bus will be implemented. And so this is really focusing on Metro Rail that will be taking place on June 22nd, which is a Sunday. So our first rail service change will be the split of the Silver Line. So going from Stadium Armory, the Silver Line will now go to two locations, downtown Largo and also New Carrollton. And so we've been making strides in updating the map. What will the map look like? What will some of the wayfinding signage look like? And then also our staged approach and making sure that the map can be shown on digitally printed within our trains and then also across the stations and then updated on our website. The second topic is expanded weekend hours. So now on Fridays and Saturdays, the Metro system will close at 2 a.m. And then Saturdays and Sunday mornings, we will open 1 hour earlier at 6 a.m. instead of 7 a.m. And so this will allow more time for people to travel to get to and from their places of work, home, anything like that. And so this presentation will cover some of the station customer wayfinding, station messages, train operator announcements, customer outreach, and then also thinking about places we may have missed or what can we do to make sure that we have everyone on board come June 22nd and making sure that you all and our customers know what is happening with our service changes. This is a visual of all the changes that are happening. And so, as you can see on the right hand of the screen, or if you can, the map will now have a dashed line, a silver line from Stadium Armory to New Carrollton, as well as Stadium Armory to downtown Largo. In December of 2025, we are actually extending the yellow line up to Greenbelt again. So, every other train will depart to Greenbelt from Mount Vernon. And so, that will happen in December, and we'll go through this entire process again to make sure that everything is updated in our maps and our stations and so forth. Hours of operation will be 5 a.m. to 2 a.m. on Fridays, Saturdays, 6 a.m. to 2 a.m., and then Sundays on 6 a.m. to midnight. And then Monday through Thursday will be 5 a.m. to midnight as well. And then Metro Access will change with the hours of operation that are adopted. Other changes that we're having is that we'll add more Silver Line service during super peak hours. So during the morning and evening, there will be more Silver Line trains, and same with the Red Line in the morning and evening. This is just another look at what some of our rail service details are. Just a reiteration that Red Line will have a super peak service during the morning and evening. Blue, orange, and silver. The silver line will have super peak during the morning and evening as well, and then the split silver line. And then again, yellow line will extend to Greenbelt come December 2025. And then system-wide, we are moving to ATO, and I think someone will be chatting about ATO as well, but expanded weekend hours on Saturdays, Sundays in the morning, and then also Friday and Saturdays in the evening. Yep. I see Philip with their hand raised.
Dr.
And
Porter?
ATO is
Yes, that's me with my hand up. And the increase in hours is phenomenal. But the only question I have is for the last decade, the maintenance group has always complained there is insufficient track time to maintain the system. And how are they going to maintain this expanded system with even less track time than they have now?
Yeah, that's a good question. So that was actually brought up also with our major construction team with the work that's happening in July. And so I believe Teresa will be on the call as well. And so that's been brought up to her team. And I think she might be better equipped to answer the question, but I can also take it back and then share a proper answer with the new and to share with the AAC if that works for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And ATO, just as far as acronyms, we have Swath who's just starting and may not have understood what ATO stands for.
Yeah, sorry about that. Automatic train operations. So currently the red line is on ATO. So meaning there is still a driver, but it's helping to be more efficient with the speed and also stopping and the signaling on our red line service. And then we've recently switched over or added green and yellow or green line as well.
A huge win
Yes.
for Woman. Huge
And
win.
before I
Thank
turn it over to Vanessa for a question, so a lot of our transition to ATO along the lines will in turn bring keep us within budget. And hopefully, if we stay on track with moving to adding additional lines to ATO, that will help us stay within budget for this coming year. And so a lot of the things, the implementations and the optimizations are attributed to moving the system over to ATO.
And that extra budget, as I recall, would be reinvested back into the system
Correct.
to help, right, to help improve further efficiencies. Great.
Vanessa?
Alert. Audio now
Thank
unmuted.
you. Yes, hi, I'm Vanessa Coles. I am so happy to hear about the Silver Line extension. I am not a regular subway user, but it's good to know that it's available. That will start at the Morgan Metro Station. Is it the blue line where you can pick it up? And does it go out to the airport? I'm not sure.
Yeah, so Silver Line will always operate from downtown Largo all the way up to Ashburn. So that will remain the same. But what will happen is that every other Silver Line train will go from Stadium Armory to New Carrollton. So New Carrollton, Landover, Cheverly, Deanwood, Minnesota, which have typically just been Orange Line stations, will
Right.
now have Silver Line stations.
Oh, wow. Now, how long will it take to get to the airport
That's a
from
good question. I don't have that stat in front of me, but it should take just as long as going from downtown Largo, but I can look up that stat for you.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
Phil?
I'm also pleased about the like the those new like peak time like hours are on the red line because late last couple of weeks we've been like sometimes I get go from work and I'm on the crowd platform to have didn't have to get onto a train that's already starting to crowd up, so hopefully that will resolve that issue.
Thank you. Yeah, hopefully we can address some of like the increased ridership with everyone returning to in office, especially since WMATA is returning to 5 days a week in July. And so hopefully we can learn from how we're expanding and adding to our peak service and then take that into the next fiscal year. So hopefully we see some positive results from this added service. Cool. I just want to talk through a couple of station supports just so you're aware. So station customer wayfinding, we're updating all the digital maps. So a lot of our language, whether on social media, in person, is to really pay attention on June 22nd to the digital maps. We are prioritizing six stations for physical maps. And so in the next slide, I'll show which stations those are. Because of the late approval of the station maps, and with Better Bus, we're trying to prioritize which areas can get the printed maps as soon as possible, just because the system is stressed in terms of making sure bus signage is up, but also how do we implement some of the station signage that will be happening across the system. And so that will be happening throughout the summer. And then we have also identified a way to address the yellow line, so that way we should only be doing the work once. And so there will be a decal sticker that will be covering the yellow line service, but also saying that this will be taking place on December 2025. Yes, Paul. Okay,
So
yeah,
with
there you go.
this expansion of service, as you know, with Metro Access, that means customers will now, depending on where they live along the train line, will be able to request earlier hours for pickups and things like that, and later in the evening. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Yeah, I just want to put that down for the record.
So, with any changes that happened with the system, Metro Access will be adopting those changes as well.
Thank you.
Yep. And then station messages. So, the passenger information display screen. So, we see a newer one up here. They will have advisories up there. Letting this is mainly in terms of the Silver Line extension to New Carrollton. We just want to make sure that customers know that they're going on the correct train. Even I get it wrong sometimes if I'm trying to get to the yellow line and we'll stay on the green line, but we're trying to do as many visual and hearing warnings for customers within the stations. And so there will be information display screens that will be on, and then also digital platform and mezzanine screens that will be displayed on June 9th through the 27th. And then the passenger information display screens will have the advisories from June 15th through 27. And then train operator announcements. Train operator announcements will be making any trains heading Silver Line heading eastbound, so towards New Carrollton or downtown Largo. We'll have key stations, so Stadium Armory, Lawn Fawn, and Metro Center, just as a reminder between June 22nd through June 27, that they're on the right train. So if you're going to New Carrollton but took the Silver Line to downtown Largo, they will have key stops along that route that will say, this is a Silver Line train heading to Largo or downtown Largo, or this is a Silver Line train heading to New Carrollton. And then, in terms of customer outreach tactics, we have our website that's been updated. So if you go to wmata.com/changes, that will list all of the rail service changes, the Better Bus implementation, Tap Ride Go. We will have brochures out in these key stations. So at the very bottom, we have L'Enfant, Metro Center, Farragut West, Foggy Bottom, Stadium Army, and Smithsonian as our six key high traffic areas, where we'll have in-station outreach with our rail ambassadors, with our Metro employees on the weekends, and then also MTPD staff helping for customers going in the right direction between Wednesday, June 18th and Wednesday, June 25th. We have a communications toolkit, and then we also have social media graphics that will be going out, sharing out the information of the rail service changes happening on June 22nd. So I just want to pause there for additional questions or comments or suggestions that you may have. Yeah, Vanessa.
Alert.
So, if I live in DC and I wanted to take the Silver Line to Maryland, is that where would you pick it up at Metro Rail? I mean, at the Red Line?
If you're coming from the Red Line, you could pick it up from Metro Center. Since
Metro
Metro
Center.
Center, yep, Metro Center has the overlap in the red line and silver, orange, and blue line.
Okay, so they're okay. They could still ride the same route as the blue and orange, the
Yes.
silver.
Yep. So orange will
Okay.
continue to go to New Carrollton, and then
Really?
blue will continue going to Lar downtown Largo.
Okay, that is neat. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Jerry, I don't see any other hands up.
Perfect. Just want to share one last thing. I'm not sure if this has been shared with you this weekend. As part of World Pride, we are increasing rail service. So June 6th through 8th, we are actually previewing the expanded weekend hours. So on Friday, June 6th, Metro will close at 2 a.m. This Saturday, June 7th, Metro will open at 6 a.m. and close at 2 a.m. And then Sunday, June 8th, Metro will open at 6 a.m. and close at midnight. And then we will also preview the yellow line expanding up to Greenbelt just for this weekend. And so the following weekends, the next weekend or so, will not happen, but June 22nd will be the first weekend that we reinstitute expanded weekend hours and then the expansion to New Carrollton. So those are all the updates I have for you. But if you have additional questions, feel free to email Anu and then I can follow up with you all with any answers.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Excellent presentation.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Okay. Very good. Good report from Jerry. Next, I give a short report on DMV moves, so we can leave a little more time maybe for Paul with the update to the bylaws. DMV moves met on the 16th. The task force met on the 16th of May, and going through a little bit of a recoup of what we did back in March, talking in three areas that I think were most critical: the bus, rail, and then also some financial information that they had at the end of the meeting. In trying to improve the efficiency of the region, they looked at the bus area in a couple of different ways. One has been looking at the bus rapid transit routes that are already within Virginia, DC, and Maryland to see if those bus rapid transit routes can be improved. And so they have been looking at the frequency of operations. How much are they able to improve the routes? Where are the routes going? Are they duplicative? And they're looking at that region wide. Some of the meetings have been pretty enthusiastic, shall we say, particularly when they are looking to remove bus rapid transit routes, let's say from DC or Virginia. And people are defending those routes pretty aggressively. And then other people are indicating that they really need more bus rapid transit routes, let's say in Prince George's County or Montgomery County once more. And so what they're looking at right now is the existing bus rapid transit routes. They have an existing list of, let's say, about 20 routes that they're looking to push forward as far as some of the final recommendations going through DMV moves for the region. But I guess the upshot of the bus prioritization and bus rapid transit routes is that there is going to continue to be a subcommittee that is going to be working on prioritizing those routes, which will be still be working in the fall. And so in the area of bus prioritization and bus rapid transit, I would hope that we would be able to get some other members on the from this committee to take a look at those routes going forward. And they'll be looking for participation from different groups on these subcommittees. Right now, the DMV Move Committee, you've got a task force which is appointed through 21 members, and they met, as I said, on the 16th. And then you have a community partners group, which the AAC is part of. And then you have a government group, and they're looking at certain issues. And we're both coming together, the community partners group and the government group are coming up with recommendations of their own, which they have been feeding into the task group, overall task group. And on after that, there are six subcommittees that are feeding also feeding information into the community partners group and the government group and the task force. So all of that is ongoing. We're trying to coordinate a lot of information coming in from the subcommittees to the working groups to the task group. The six task groups, some of them deal with procurements of buses. I am working on two of them. One is wayfinding, and the other one is bus prioritization. There is a group that deals with scheduling, and I can't remember the last two items within the working groups. I mean these subcommittee groups that are feeding up through the two community partners groups and the government groups. But it's a fairly complicated structure, but they're finding that it is important to get some of these things right. Within the two bus groups or the bus group that I have been working on, there are two issues that are critical. One, as I said, was bus rapid transit, which they haven't figured out yet, or at least made some concrete decisions on how many they will have within Virginia, DC, and Maryland. Deconflicting those routes between the three jurisdictions is critical. The second item that they has been discussed is something called bus prioritization, which is a term that I had not been familiar with, and that deals with how can you improve the way the buses are working within the current jurisdictions in Maryland, DC, and Virginia. How can you improve bus service? Are there duplications on some of these routes? Are the folks in the jurisdictions slowing down the buses? Are the bus routes being slowed down at the local level? The answers to all of that is yes. And so it's trying to figure out in the jurisdictions how you can optimize the capacity, speed, direction of the buses. Are there routes that are duplicative where you have, three or four buses running in, let's say, in Prince George's County, and you have to separate them out so you can give different service to different areas? Yes. So it's a fairly complicated piece. But one of the general observations that this DMV Moves group has made is that there is finite capacity on the subway. You can only run so many trains through so many tunnels on the tracks at a given time, and they know what that capacity is. So that if you want to increase capacity within the region, you really need to look at the buses, which was surprising to me because I thought more of their emphasis would be on the subway and not the buses. But they have put a tremendous amount of energy on the buses. And so one of the things that I've asked Anu to put together for the fall is to have folks come back to our committee to give us more of a understanding of what they mean by bus rapid transit and bus prioritization, and how does that work, particularly when you want to integrate that into the existing Better Bus network that is out there. So fairly complicated, but it is an area of immense study within DMV Moves. With respect to the rail, the areas that were discussed had to do with automatic train operation and how increased savings from going to ATO would assist the system in moving forward. And that and so areas that had sufficient trains going through, and you didn't have a lot of people waiting on the track, you didn't have a big backlog, maybe they could take some of those trains off and support an area that had more high volume. And so that's one of the things they're studying. They're also getting information on if you go to ATO, as was discussed earlier, how much money are you going to save and what are you going to do with that money? Well, they're going to put that money back into the system so that you can run capacity, whether it's going to be on bus or rail, more efficiently, but you'll be able to run the system much more efficiently because you've taken these steps. And so they've been able to talk about how we can increase the efficiency of the overall system by 10 or 15 or 20%. And what are we going to do with that extra money that we save? Well, is it going to go into someone's pocketbook or is it going to go back into the system? And 9 times out of 10, what you're seeing is, or 10 times out of 10, any money that's been saved is going right back into the system. Now, on top of that, they also have data, as they've been very happy to tell us, 49 straight months. Probably a couple more weeks now through May and now into June, where you're having attendance records. They're able to take a lot of that money that they thought they would have to pull out of capital funds, and they said, we've been able to save money because the population of people who have taken the system is so much greater, and so they have to borrow less from capital to cover operations. So they are actually saving money. So all of that was discussed at the task force and fairly complicated. I would say that if anyone wants to get, if anybody is interested in more of what's going on with DMV moves, I would say the April meeting on the DMV, the March meeting on the DMV move site, March 31st, I believe it was, is an excellent introduction to what has been happening lately with respect to the system and the work that was done over the last year. The April board meeting, where they took an hour to go through all of this again, and my head was still swimming, is an excellent recap of some of these issues that we're talking about. And then the May 16th meeting, where they had a 2-hour meeting to discuss these issues, is available. And so they go through the bus prioritization, the bus rep BR bus rapid transit, the rail, and what the impact of the rail improvements will be. And lastly, on in May, they talked about the financial piece. What are they going to do? How are they going to raise money within the jurisdictions? Then they did that for about 15 or 20 minutes, and they polled members of the task force to see what their opinions were with respect to that. And it really comes down to two things. One is they would generate a sales tax through the different jurisdictions, I mean, through the different jurisdictions, and they would pay for the money themselves, through the sales tax. And some people like that idea. Other jurisdictions where you had politicians having to indicate to their people there's going to be an additional tax to pay for this, they didn't like it. So you had kind of a mixed bag there with a lot of vocal people that had very definite ideas. So those could be listened to on the May 16th meeting. And then you also had another point of view that indicated that we need to get funding in place. You need to have funding that's going to be gen that's going to be expected every year from the different states, from the jurisdictions, and it needs to be linked to index to inflation so that you don't run out of money like they did in 2018 or whatever, or during the COVID era, and run into the problem that we had a couple of years ago. And so the question number two was, rather than tell the jurisdictions how to raise the money, they would just say that they expect X amount of money from Maryland, X amount of money from DC, and X amount of money from Virginia on a yearly basis. And how you raise that money and is up to you. You're going to be able to pay the money in, and I think it was $500 million, to the system, so that we can run the system and not run short of money. And we would be able to maintain the system in a robust way with, our capital needs, fixing things that need to be fixed. One of them being the signaling on the tracks, which will cost a huge amount of money, but is extremely old and may take 15 or 20 years to replace. And you've got other maintenance projects, of course, that are out on the system. So those are the big things that were talked about in the May 16th meeting. I can take some general questions. They didn't come to any agreements. We were supposed we the task force was supposed to finish up in June, but they have extended the meetings out through September, with the subcommittees, I think, will be ongoing for, I would say, maybe another year. And so I would hope that maybe members of this AAC might want to join some of those subcommittees, because I think we have some expertise that certainly they can use. So, questions for me on DMV moves. Fairly complicated, high level stuff.
Bill Weintraub, go ahead.
Yes, Philip.
I was wondering, so does this mean you're going to have to close down lines to replace all the signals?
They did not go through that, Philip. I think that would be done in the evenings. No, you would not be. They never indicated they would be closing down lines to repair the traffic signals. What they did say is that the signals on the tracks are from the 1970s. So we're in the kind of the same situation as the air traffic controller system. Those track signals are that old. And so they do say that a lot of the issues that we are seeing when you're having problems with these trains now are because those track signals are just old, worn out, and that's one of the areas that once they do fix that, the system is going to run much more efficiently and effectively, and they will be able to take that right back and plow it right back into the system. WMATA is one of the oldest systems in the world, really, and they systems now, transit systems all over the world that are being built right now are being built with much more up-to-date equipment than we have right now. So that's one of the high costs that they will be working into their maintenance program over the years. That's a big part of the capital improvement that, as they would call it in their reports going forward, the track signals. Other questions for me?
Chair Sheehan, I don't believe any members have additional questions. You've
Oh,
done a
good.
pretty good
No,
job
I think
explaining.
I put them all to sleep. It is a lot of information to get through. If anyone on the committee wants to, dmvmoves.org, and those, particularly the task force reports, the one in March 31st and May 16th, are really well done. You've got a lot of smart people doing a lot of good work. So, kudos to COG and to WMATA and a lot of the area jurisdictions that are still working pretty well together and trying to coordinate and make this system a better system, a regional system as opposed to a local jurisdictional system. And breaking down those silos is not easy. Okay, so going forward with our meeting, Anu, did I lose my?
Sure.
Oh no, I'm here.
No, you're connected, and we can
Public comment
begin.
period, right?
Yes, we can begin our public comment
Good.
period. And what I will say is that any members of the public, if you'd like to make any comments, please let us know now. You can either send me a chat message or you can raise your virtual hands. If you're on phones, you can press star 9. If you are on the video conference, you can click on the raise hand icon. And that will raise your virtual hands. To unmute yourself, you can on the phones, you can press star 6, And if you are on the video conference, if you click on the audio button, that will unmute yourselves. At this point, I am not seeing any members of the public.
Not it. Okay.
No.
Give it a few more.
Sure.
No, you don't
And
see anything? Okay.
Vanessa has raised her hand. Vanessa, before we go ahead and take your question or comment, I just want to make sure that we do not have any members of the public for this section. And if we do not, then we will surely go ahead and start taking any AAC members. Janice Samuel. Janice, go ahead. Janice, if you would unmute yourself.
Thank you. I wanted to mention, I should have mentioned this last month at the Metro Access meeting, but the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland worked to advocate for a bill that was signed by the governor last month so that disabled persons who use paratransit in the Maryland Transit Authority, they no longer have to receive recertification of their application for services if they are permanently disabled. And what the Maryland, NFB, Virginia, and the District of Columbia, they are sending a signed letter by all three jurisdictions to the general manager and the head of the WMATA board to try to advocate for this same ability on WMATA. So I don't know if that letter has gone forward yet. I do know the three jurisdictions have signed off on it. So I just wanted to let you know that's something that we've been bringing up frequently in this meeting, and we're hoping that WMATA can follow suit with MTA.
Right. Thank you, Janice.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great. I don't know if you can get information to Anu or whatever, but it would be great also to take a look at the bill that was signed by
Sure.
the governor. That would be good. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. That'd be great. Thank you, Janice. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Janice. I see Vanessa has her hand up, and Mr. Blake would like to say something, followed by Sarah Rod and then Rico Dancy. So, Vanessa, go
Alert. Audio now.
ahead. Yes, I'm wearing my consumer hat right now. And it's kind of what Ms. Janice was referring to is the recertification process. Because last week, and I would like Mr. AJ to explain that process because it's a very lengthy, seeing that we don't have to come in anymore. Me, myself, I've been extended another month because my recertification period ended. And I seen a physician in at Columbia Lighthouse. They sent it over a month ago. They faxed it. It's been sent twice now. And I even spoke today because I was at the Springfield office. They don't have record of it at all, that it was sent, that it was processed. I had two consumers. I did a three-way with someone in in the recertification office. This one lady, it's just her process. She hadn't been a rider in a couple of years, so we're just trying to get her reactivated. And the lady did just went ahead and reactivated her. And another lady was a new lady that just signed up with Metro Access. And her question was, and she wasn't sure if she got weekend transportation, so she was told that she does get Monday through Saturdays. So my question or her question was, she didn't know how do they determine, well, the lady explained to her about the ADA rule and everything for the new people coming in, what their service would provide them. So my question is for AJ. Good afternoon, good evening. This is Christian Blake, Metro Access, black male wearing glasses and a purple shirt. I'm not quite sure I understand the question. Now, if you're saying your application in particular is being delayed or is taking a long time, I've just sent Chris Colbert. Oh, he's saying they never received your application. So is
Caller,
that AJ
audio
took?
now unmuted.
Exactly. I went through Columbia Lighthouse and Chriselle did a group of us. Some of us did get everything out, our cards and everything. I was in the same group. So mine was
You
not.
could ask, you could either call Chriselle, who I know very well, and you could ask her to resend it, or you could just have her call me and we can try to walk through the process. But that's just, we can't process an application that we don't receive. But as a courtesy, as you pointed out, we extend your eligibility so that your access to service is not interrupted.
So you're insinuating that she didn't send it, and I'm telling you it's the third time.
Well, we're saying to her that, or we're saying to you, based on what the team is telling me, is that we did not receive it. So either you
You
can
have the
ask
right
her,
number?
or you can have her call me directly and we can walk her through the process.
Well, some of us did get it though, Mr. Blake.
Well,
Some people did it.
and some of you did, but yours, you're saying, did not. So again, I appreciate you advocating for a lot of folks. We're saying we didn't receive yours. So if you work with
I
me,
assume I'm advocating for. Yes, me too. Yes.
I got you. But if you work with me and either ask Chriselle to send it again, and she can send it directly to me, or she can call me and we can talk it through to get it in, we can process the application. But if we did not receive it, we cannot process it.
Okay.
Sounds like getting Mr. Blake involved would be the easiest way to go.
Okay.
I would think
Thank
so.
you. Then you have someone to blame who's going to be here,
Right,
right? Yeah.
exactly.
No,
Okay.
I think I'll bet. Sorry, I bet you can hit. I'll walk this thing through. That'll be
If
good.
the worst case scenario, we'll get Uber to bring it to us by hand. We've done, well, we've actually sent applications out that way. So if that's the worst case scenario, we'll get a courier and we'll get her application to us so we can process it.
Okay, great.
It's
See?
been done before.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
Good. Anu?
you. Okay, Sarah, Rod, and then Rico Dancy.
Hi,
That's not why I
this
raised
is.
my hand. I still have my hand up.
Oh, I'm
Oh,
sorry.
no, Mr. Blake, please go ahead. Sarah, just a moment.
I'm
Just
sorry.
real quick, just real. I wanted to say, because I know a lot of riders are members, when I say riders, Metro Access riders are part of this committee and in the public. And when you're riding with our drivers, you hear a lot of things. They are talking. I'm trying to limit some of these non service trip, particular service conversations. But during the Metro Access subcommittee meeting at the end of the month, we're going to talk a little more. But in case any of you hear, oh, Metro Access sent a notice to a provider, you know, what Metro Access has done is what we've done in the past is sometimes when we don't get the results we want from a particular provider, we'll say, hey, you've got a time limit to do certain things to demonstrate your commitment to this service. So if you hear anything, this is not a time to panic. There's no rumors to deal with. We're dealing with a regular time period of adjustment. I heard Steve, I didn't know Steve was an auditor, but as you know, even in auditing, you look in detail and give people time to make adjustments and changes. That's what's happening in case any of you are on a van and you talk or a sedan and you're talking to a driver. There are no changes imminent, but we'll talk a little more about that at the end of the month, or not the end of the month, but during the Metro Access subcommittee meeting. But I did want to put down some of the rumors and bubble talk that's starting to bubble up and just make sure you all know before we do anything, we would come and let you know ahead of time before any drastic changes would take place, which is not our plans at this time. But that's all I have to share today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Sarah, please go ahead.
Sorry about that. Just a quick follow-up to what Janice was saying, and it's more of a question, I guess. If we get a copy of the letter that was sent by the three jurisdictions, and we as a committee like this idea, is this something where we would send a separate letter supporting this, their letter or their proposal or something along those lines?
Is that a question for me?
That was probably for Patrick or Anu. I don't know. I
I'm
mean, I
sorry.
don't know if that's a thing that we do or not. Like, as a committee, can we like
No.
actively support this
No.
proposal?
Yeah. So
Okay,
I
Patrick.
think it would come to the I would take this and send this over to Metro Access Subcommittee to put on their agenda, and they would make a recommendation to the full committee. After discussing it from because it is specifically Metro Access issue, and they would make a recommendation which they would send over to the full committee, and full committee would vote on it, and it would be something that I suppose a letter could be sent. Definitely, it would be discussed in front of the board, and if the committee if the full committee passes that item. Then that would become something that we would advocate for as a full committee on a very formal basis. So knowing what was knowing what the law stated that was passed and any other information on this would be really relevant going forward. Because yeah, I've been part of the discussions for what was advocated for and signed off on. And so, let's formalize it here, but that would be the process.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
So does this
And
sound like this
can
is
I
a
just say one thing about that? And I'll go back and read the bill. You were bringing up my old days when I was the lobbyist
might
for the
say, is this
EPA.
something we're gonna discuss at the next
I think
meeting?
we
Because we got
can
too busy.
now, and I could be wrong because again, I just took a quick glance because I swore off politics 13 years ago when I came here, but sometimes you get pulled back in. I have a feeling, I'm not sure, so we just want to make sure, and I could be wrong, and I'll definitely say if I'm wrong. This bill relates to a program at MTA, my old stomping grounds, that is similar to Metro's reduced fare program, not the paratransit, in my understanding. I will double check on that. I'll be happy to be wrong on that, but what I'm seeing initially is if you're a person here, oftentimes if you don't qualify for Metro Access, you do qualify for the reduced fare program for people with disabilities. Under that program, if I'm reading the bill correctly, just from a quick glance, that one you will not have to reapply for here at Metro, although I'm not sure if we're doing reapplying for that anyway. I could
So,
be,
yeah.
but if that is what it is, that's not necessarily permanent eligibility for paratransit. But
Yeah, let's
I'll
not
be
discuss
provided
it
you the
here.
bill. Yeah.
Yeah, let's take a look at the bill and see
Law.
how it applies, but we'll probably refer it to the Metro Access Subcommittee first, and then if that's the wrong place for it, Paul, you can yell at me. How about that?
No,
But we'll
because that's what I'm gonna ask. At the committee level, is this applicable to that, or does obviously we want to involve Metro Access eligibility, if because there's
Right.
some people in the past who's asked for why do I have to recertify every 5 years if I have a permanent disability if the bill relates into that paratransit aspect.
So,
But I would like to hear, from Metro Access
right.
eligibility along in concert with Mr. Blake after they look at it at the
Okay.
subcommittee level.
Good. Great. And I agree with that, Paul. And then once we've got our facts straight, the subcommittee can take a vote and pass it on to the full committee. The recommendation to the full committee, and then we can vote on it too. So it may take a couple of months, whatever, depending on what we find and all.
Okay.
But that's good. But we've been at this for how long? We've talked about this for years, so this is an interesting development. Good. Any other hands?
Rico is our
Oh,
last
yes. Go
person
ahead,
in this
Rico.
section.
We had to get the bylaws.
You're up next, Paul. Yes.
Okay, I have a question, Mr. Blake. The driver came to get me on Saturday at 4:50. He dropped somebody off at 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay. He drive around the city. He said he could not find the freeway. Mm-hmm. So he said he could not find the freeway. It took him 37 minutes, 5:37. He dropped the person off at 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And he dropped the person at 5 o'clock in the morning. It don't take you no. He said he had to drive around the whole city to find a freeway. I didn't get to work to 6:45. Got rolled up because I was late. I tell them I had to be work at 6 a.m. I tell these folks every week I have to be at work at exactly 6 o'clock. They told me the next time I'm late, I'm terminated. So I got to figure out what can I do?
Well, so when you called me, you actually emailed me yesterday. So I've checked into this. I haven't gotten to the bottom line because I know you told me even in your email, your driver was lost. I'm hearing that the operator had another pickup, but then it was canceled. We're trying to get to the bottom of that. The bottom line is, as we've talked about on these meetings, the challenge is the pickup time, even for an appointment trip, and the time you need to be at work does not necessarily mesh with a shared ride, fixed ride equivalent public transit service. That's why he has somebody on board, and that's why my understanding is he was going to go pick somebody up. Would I want to deal with you, though? And we could try.
The person was on the van when he picked me up.
Correct. The first one. And that's a shared ride service, right? And then
Right. And then he picked them up. He dropped them off. Okay.
Right.
And he drove 37 minutes around the city to find a freeway.
Right. Now, we're trying to figure out, because I'm getting two different stories from the driver. But even with that, if there was another passenger to be picked up, you know, that's shared ride public transit service. And you know, that's been our challenge with those early Sunday morning trips that you rightfully are frustrated with, but it's just a challenge for us to try to serve a customer, one particular customer, in the scope of a shared ride public transit service. And now, again, even last week, only 26% of our trips were shared rides, but during certain early hours when there are fewer vehicles on the road, those rides have to be shared, especially when you're going the distance that you're traveling. I did ask you in the email to confirm your cell phone number with me.
Yeah.
Let me do what I'm going to try to do with that. We want to help you as much as we can without treating you special or different than I would treat any other customer. Because again, I always say this, as much as I want to spoil all the customers, anything I do for one, we have to be able to do for all.
Do for all.
But you send me the number and let's try this again next Sunday. I'm going to get to the bottom line with the operator. And if that operator has to be admonished, that will be taken care of. But please send me the number so I can be confirmed with what number it is. Let me try to do what I have to do.
Sent to you about 20 minutes ago.
Okay. And I will, we're going to try this again next Sunday morning in a fair public transit approach, but one that hopefully takes care of the issue. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Thank you.
Okay. So that concludes the public comment section. Paul, it's all yours.
All right.
Very
Now,
good.
hopefully, every AAC member, this is Paul Summerford here. Me with a committee of wonderful AAC members and the chair, Mr. Sheehan, and me kind of help spearheading the revision of our bylaws every 5 years, like I did the last cycle. This is the second or third cycle, I guess I'm helping to help spearhead. We, as a ad hoc committee, went through the bylaws, printed it, presented it to the committee, our suggested changes, which has now went through the board and legal quite extensively. New has delivered to you about a couple weeks ago what the board has recommended and proposed along, after going through legal counsel. So I'm here to present to you those major changes. These changes are pretty much are final through legal counsel, because they do have the right to change what suggestions we had. But the three ones I want to hone into you, first is, let me go to my screen right here, because I kind of have them highlighted. The terms of for all people, in terms of members. So the first is the term limits. It will be for 3 consecutive 4-year terms for everyone. So what's new in this bylaw that has been spelled out, there's going to be 3 4-year consecutive terms for current for AAC members based on the 2015 bylaws, on those changes the last time. There'll be 3 4-year consecutive terms for access for all members. There'll be 3 4-year terms for emeritus members, and there'll be 3 4-year terms for subcommittee members to serve. Also, what has been added into this newly revised bylaws by legal is any AAC member who is term limited by these bylaws shall not be a member of the AAC for at least 1 year before reapplying for consideration for the AAC membership. So that's the first set of major changes. The second major change comes in under termination of membership. There was very specific language put in, specifically number 3, that kind of tightened. And I will read it out loud. So members, when I engage in a cons to be considered for termination, engage in a consistent pattern of disruptive behavior in AAC or other WMATA-related meetings, which includes but is not limited to the use of slurs, derogatory comments, or any other conduct, whether physical, verbal, or written, including email, and directed at any person, including AAC members and WMATA staff, or based upon another person's race, color, or origin, sex, religion, sexual orientation, disability, or age. That was spelled more specifically, loud, out and clear. And then the last major change came under what we talked about, the virtual meetings. And I'm pulling that up. So under regular meetings, under Article 6, a lot of the language, because we're now using a virtual platform as one option, it reads now, as part of the proposal, regular meetings of the AAC shall be held at least once a month, generally in the evening. Regular meetings may be in person, hybrid, i.e., virtual or in person, or virtual. Meetings shall be conducted according with the Robert's Rules of Orders as revised from time to time in these bylaws. The platform for virtual meetings must be accessible to people with disabilities, supporting interpreted services, ASL in parentheses, captioning, and in parentheses, auto captioning. Meeting agendas shall be posted to WMATA's website in the same manner as agendas as posted for meetings of the WMATA Board of Directors. Meetings will be open to the public, held in a location accessible to people with disabilities, either held in person, hybrid, or virtual, and within the transit zone. The format in-person, hybrid, or virtual, in parentheses, of the meeting shall be recommended by the AAC to the Office of System-Wide Accessibilities. Meeting will be materials will be made available in accessible formats upon requested. So those are the three sets of major changes that comes from the previous one. Any questions?
So my question here, Anu, well, we were going to vote for these in approve these in July, correct?
Yes, sir.
As do I, is there any reason why they've had them for 2 weeks? Any reasons why they can't be approved now?
Well, so if the committee feels that they are prepared to vote on the document, that is your discretion at this point, I guess.
So I would just say thank you, Anu. So I would just say one thing. The individual document that we worked on for 6 months was very specific to what we had done before, and we had all kinds of changes. What I have read in this document and comparing it to the first, Paul, you can give me concur or not, is very similar, and this is much more tightened up. Very similar, almost identical to what was approved by the RAC on their bylaws, so we're consistent with them.
Yeah,
And
it's already spelled out the three major areas which they
right,
explicitly
exactly.
fine-tuned.
And that was not substantially different. I mean, it wasn't different in substance from what we had passed. We just wrote it differently, a lot longer. And so the other issue here is legal has said this is what we want. This is what we agree to. And we don't have any ability here to make any substitutions. So legal has spoken.
That even the wording that you had for DEI, that was stricken out for obvious reasons.
Right. So my question would be, I would like to see this document approved so that we can continue going forward as a committee.
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. We have three hands up,
Go
Sandy
ahead.
Mitchell, Steve Caffin, and Vanessa Coles.
Go,
Sandy,
Steve.
go ahead.
Who was the other hand?
Sandy, Steve, Vanessa.
Okay. Sandy, you go first.
Because
Sandy?
he cannot hear you.
Hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Technical difficulties. One of the changes we made that may not sound major, but I think is very important to this committee has to do with people attending site visits and beta testing and observing things that WMATA offers us to test out and observe. And then comment on whether we can vote today. I think the bylaws specifically say something about how many people have to vote. Maybe that was to change the bylaws, maybe not just to approve them tonight, but there was a two-thirds vote for something to do with the bylaws. And I'm not sure that we have two-thirds of the AAC present. So just a technical point I'm unsure of.
But I think also in the bylaws, it does say for a quorum, all we need to have is 50% of what's present.
And we can, and we that, so to your point, Sandy, that site visit piece. What was it? What was that part of the document?
Oh, along about Article 2 or 3, what we're supposed to do. I don't have the bylaws in front of me right now. I just wanted to emphasize that AAC members should participate in site visits and beta testing when it's offered to us because we have a low turnout at site visits sometimes.
Okay. There was a whole range of duties that we were expected to do. I think it went through M or N or something like that. And that's where this was consolidated, not to enumerate all of the duties that we have. I think that we would certainly argue for that, though.
Oh,
I
yeah.
don't know that it is by law. I
Actually,
think what
it
legal
is
is.
in the revision. So that'll be
Yeah.
number 12. It says attend public hearings, town hall meetings, and ad hoc AAC work group meetings, such as Metro sponsored sites visits,
Oh, okay.
special
Good point.
projects, and beta testing software where appropriate. It's in it. It's in the proposal. So you're good.
Okay. Good.
I
Okay.
just
Thank
looked
you,
at it.
Paul. Good.
Whew.
All
All
right. Good job, Paul. Great.
right.
Thanks, Sandy. Okay.
And Chair Sheehan, this is Anu regarding the number of members. We do have 14 present today.
Okay. So we
Okay.
can vote. Okay.
And
Good.
Steve, you're up next. Go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. I recall during our discussions we had one relating to when a person is timed out, does the AAC run with less than the full complement until another person is selected if there is an open period? Is that the way? Is that the way it's finally written? Or I recall we had a discussion whether the person who was being time limited out might stay by special situation until such time as a new person, the new person were added.
I think that's, I actually think that's in there, Steve, but Paul, you want to bail me out a second time?
Okay. Oh
Yeah,
boy, look at my eyes.
I think that is in there
Oh,
though,
no. I
Steve, but
guess I have
we,
become the expert on this, sharing it.
Yes, you are.
but
Oh boy.
but I think we haven't really run across that situation. We're actually at capacity right now at 2021. So I don't think that would be an issue.
Because I do believe if there's no other person, if I'm reading it, the person would stay on until a successor is appointed.
Right. Okay.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks.
Okay. And a third person? Yeah. I think
Boy, y'all
for
picking my
historical.
brain tonight.
You're doing an excellent job, Paul, obviously. Vanessa, and then we have Philip Weintraub.
Okay, thank you. Well, I was just curious, was there anything omitted that we were trying to adjust? I think remember saying something about it had to be a diverse community representation.
So I can answer that. Anything that's related to DEI, they stroke up. They kept some of the spirit of the language, but because, as one board member said, they had to look at all their documents. And remember, I was there at that AAC member when the board member was there, and I asked about the bylaws specifically. And that's and I'm looking at the revisions now. I know they DEI was specifically stated that was struck out. Anything with the diversity, they've kind of toned the language on it because Metro does not want to lose funding.
But they also spoke about having the appropriate representation within the
Yeah,
jurisdiction.
but they still talked about the
Right.
representation, but they made it more general. But anything with DEI or anything with DEI saw struck out in red already in there. That was explicitly what we talked about, but that was struck out. But they still kept the spirit of having a diverse group of people with disabilities. That was still kept.
So that was the only thing that we went over, basically, that did not get approved.
Yeah, there was one line that's talked about diversity, equity, inclusion. That was clearly struck out from our proposal because of, well, you know what's going on.
Right, but it was represented in a different way.
Yes.
Right. Thank
You
you.
had different words to represent the same
Yeah.
concept. Yes.
You kind of had to find a different code word.
All right, Philip.
Thank you.
And
All
I'm
right.
also on.
Things now lower.
And you know, if like also, I have my question is, say if somebody, hopefully, a paper figure talks out, we never have to go through this. But if somebody is to be terminated in bad terms, will that person be replaced right away, or we have to, or that position's got to sit empty until the new member's coming on June?
So if a person's terminated, we are right now in a process where we are recruiting on a regular basis. So if we have someone in the pipeline that we su can suggest that we can suggest for that spot because that person is terminated, that
And
person gets moved.
I
Go
was
ahead,
gonna
Paul.
also add to it that the Office of ADAP or System Accessibility, both, they keep a list of people that who may have not been picked for the AAC, but a new, correct me if I'm wrong, already has a list of, second and third people in line. So in case these vacancies happen, they can go back to those who already have applied but were not selected from different
And that's
jurisdictions.
right, and that's correct, Paul. Depending upon which jurisdiction needs the fulfillment, right? First of all, that's the first and foremost, that's what we have to review. And then what the time it takes to fill that position. And we can make all the efforts. Sometimes things take longer than we would like. But we do try to still continue to make sure that we have diverse membership as much as possible from the pool that we get of applications. So.
Good. Thank you. All right. So answering those questions, I can take a motion if the committee is so approves, would like to go forward with our bylaws.
I would
I
second that we
move.
vote on the bylaws. If
All right.
Um,
Did I so I got a I got a second also? All right, I'll call the question. All those in favor of approving these bylaws as submitted back to us
Hello. Audio now unmuted.
from WMATA, please say aye.
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 Is there any opposition?
Alert. Ola has left.
Do no
Any
opposition?
no
Okay.
abstentions?
No abstentions. Very good. Thank you, Paul. I got interrupted there, so I wasn't quite sure what I heard. Okay. The bylaws are passed.
So the proposal is
Congratulations.
passed. Yep, there we
Yep.
go.
We are
That could
good.
be sent up
Thank
to
you,
the board.
Paul. Excellent work. And committee, I appreciate your looking at these and getting this completed. I know that it has been a task. Huge thank you also to Anu. You guys have no idea how much work she put into making sure that these were tracked through the system. It's a lot of work above us that we don't ever see. So we are good for another 5 years. Congratulations, all.
Congratulations, AAC, for having the bylaws again.
Yes, you are breathing a sigh of relief, Anu. I know that. A lot of work on Anu's part, which I
Well
think you guys
done.
appreciate that too.
Audio now unmuted.
I think
Thank
yeah, all of you.
you,
Thank you so much.
Yes. Okay, so let's see. Anu, how are we doing on time?
We have 7 minutes.
7 minutes. So
For the
we can
committee.
go 3 minutes for Metro Access and 3 minutes for Bus Rail.
Sounds good.
Paul, you're up. You could even take four since Tino's not here. And thank you for your looking those questions up for me, Paul, with the bylaws. Good for you.
I guess I came prepared for this, but
You did.
I'm happy we got this
Me too.
baby done. We'll see, because as you know, I am in 4 years. I'm going to be term limited, one of those. So, someone else will have to take up this task. This is time number three, and this is it. I'm going to pass the torch to
Good
someone
for you.
else.
All
All
right. So Metro Access, Paul.
right,
So Metro Access.
Paul's going
Without
to be term
ado.
limited before members of Congress.
All right.
Okay, three, 2.5 minutes,
Two and a
Paul.
half minutes now,
Okay.
Paul.
So last month we had a presentation from Metro staff about let's see, let me pull up my quick. Okay, there we go. I have the topics right here. Some the Washington Suburban Transit Commission. Anu sent us the notes from that, looking at different transportation options for paratransit within the region that's on top from the local jurisdictions. And during that presentation, I did make a comment about, at some point, maybe in the customer guide. I know Metro Access is the primary choice of all customers for paratransit across the WMATA transit region. But we should make them aware of the other local choices, how to reach them and access them and apply for service if they choose to use those services locally as options, so they have choices. We got, abilities ride updates from Mr. Blake that shared rides is going to be back on the rise. As he said, we have the number of shared rides the lowest in the nation because of abilities ride and with taxis and Uber and stuff like that, and because of the on-time performance and traffic patterns, and addressing those issues. But do expect after, June 30th, starting July 1st, customers will be possibly sharing a ride with a buddy. On that, a quick fixed route, paratransit equivalent. So do expect that over the summer, as your summer surprise, possibly, as we'll discuss that next month, as Mr. Blake looks at me on the screen. And did I cover most of that, Mr. Blake, as I
Think you
look?
did.
Indeed, very well, yes. We look
Oh, we
forward to
talked about our service provider, who hopefully will remain nameless, will come back to us next month. Some of our mom and pop ones, and Mr. Blake talked about, working on their performance issues. And again, we'll talk about it at the subcommittee level, but it is 7:27, and I want to leave anything from Bus Rail or New to make announce. So that is it for now.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. Let's see. Anyone want to speak up for Bus Rail? I know Tino's not here.
I volunteered to do that. Pat, can you hear me?
Yes, go
This
ahead.
is Sandy. So two main topics were covered at the Bus Rail Subcommittee on May 12th. Al Hines and Erica Cunningham gave a good rundown on the final. It's going to happen. Better bus network rollout the end of June. Yes, some bus stops will go away. Some bus routes will be realigned. All bus routes will be renamed. And then Erica gave a good rundown on the outreach that they're planning to inform the public. And I think we're going to hear more about that at our next Bus Rail Subcommittee meeting. And then the second item of that meeting was the wayfinding signage, fixed signs in complicated metro stations that have two levels that I discussed, which, all things considered, may be lower priority at the moment because of all of the changes to bus routes and upcoming changes to rail routes. But looking for feedback to give on best layout of and best color contrast and location of signage to help the most people in metro rail stations for future signage updates. So those are the two main topics.
Very good. Thank you, Sandy. And as I said to you privately, excellent presentation by you on the signage. Appreciate all that work that goes into that. That's good. All right. Anu, we are down to your announcement.
Okay, I will be quick. Any members of the public, if you'd like to send us your public comments, you can email them at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's spelled out MetroaacChair at WMATA.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. And that concludes my announcement. Thank you.
Very good. All right. We are at time, I believe, correct?
Sure are.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So
Motion to
moved.
adjourn.
All right. Second, all those in
Second.
favor? Hearing
Aye. Aye.
no
Aye.
opposition, this
Nope.
meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, Mr. Johnson, or Mr. Colbert, are you still on? Quick question for you.
Yep, I'm
Or could I email you?
here.
Oh, Mr. Colbert. So, question, can a school psychologist certify for school-aged children for Metro Access? Or I can talk to you offline about that.
A school psychologist can, a school counselor cannot.
Yeah, okay, because I'm talking about several applications. Some of my students with autism with the school psychologist. She just did a reeval and with seeing us very good candidates for Metro Access. So I just want to ask that question of you.